Okay, so today is the 3rd of September, surprisingly. Where'd the time go? 2019. Today we're visiting with Sister Lou Anglin and at Mount Carmel. And usually try to start out, Sister, with maybe you could give us a little background on your early years and your family and how that all began.
Well, I was born in Dubuque, and I lived here until I was 10. And then my mom and dad, who both grew up in the country, decided it was time to get out of the big city. And so our family moved to between Epworth and Farley in about 1970. And I started at St. Pat's in Epworth and then went to St. John's in Piasta for the rest of my grade school. And I went to West Dubuque. Much against my mother's wishes, who wanted me to go to Wallert. But I had, you know, while I was at in middle school, I really developed a like for choir and basketball and softball, and I knew playing sports especially would be problematic if I went to Wallert. So I went to West Dubuque, along with 15 or 16 of the kids I graduated with from St. John's.
Back at that time, there probably was a pretty sizable class size, wasn't there?
Yeah, I just had my 40th reunion on Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were trying to figure out how many we had. I don't know that we ever determined. It was somewhere between 225 and 250, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So you must have contacted some friends and visited with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
had
yeah.
A good time.
Yeah, we did. We had a nice time. It was good.
Lots of people you probably hadn't seen for a while.
For a long time. Well, I was away from Dubuque, or this area, for about 23, 4 years as an adult. So, you know, kind of kept in contact with some of my high school buddies, but not many. And so it's kind of reentry these last 10 years to see a lot of familiar faces but can't remember names.
Sure. How about some of your teachers and coaches back there?
Great experiences with both teachers and coaches, and a lot of overlap. A lot of my coaches were teachers at West Dubuque. Bill Hafer was a coach of mine, Chuck Bailey, Mr. Schmidt, a basketball coach, Paul Schramm was a social studies teacher.
Yep.
Mike Coffey was also a history teacher, softball coach. Nikki Ray.
Okay, Nikki, sure.
Yeah, she was a great mentor.
Lois Tyson?
I did have her, I had Lois for English, I think, probably, yeah. My memory's not great. Carl Hine.
Sure.
Mr. Finley. Kilbert, Kilbreath, you know, that crowd.
Sure. Well, last Friday, we have a gathering of retirees every last business day of the month, because that's when our pensions come out. And we always get together at Hy-Vee in Dubuque here, and Mr. Schmidt was there, Mr. Kilbert was there. And Paul Schramm was there, in fact.
Harold Knudsen was at the reunion the other night.
Was he really?
He mentioned the Hy-Vee crowd.
Okay. Harold was there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we were his first class.
Yes, you were.
As principal. Yeah.
And I was, that was my first year as assistant at that time. You're a graduate of 79?
Right.
So then you had to make a decision on transitioning to beyond that, and what was your decisions?
Well, my mom was a teacher, and I'd always wanted to be a teacher, and I was, I think, really drawn to high school teaching because of my experience at West Dubuque, you know, and, you know, certainly the quality of the teachers, but also the care that they really showed us students, you know, that they wanted to broaden our horizons a bit and to get thinking about life and what we wanted to give back,
mm-hmm.
how we wanted to serve. And so I decided to that I wanted to be a teacher, and other than that, I really didn't have a lot of plans, except for I knew it meant college. And so, my family wasn't, we hadn't saved for college or anything, because that wasn't done really back then. You know, you didn't have to, first of all, save a whole lot, we thought. But so any kind of financial help that I could get was good for me, good to me. So Clark offered a little bit of a basketball scholarship, as a few other places did too. But after visiting, it was Clark that really won me over. And so it's because of basketball, honestly, that I went to Clark.
Okay. How'd that go?
It was great. Yeah. It was. I love Clark. Clark was, you know, ironically or providentially probably, the best place I could have picked.
Okay.
Because I really came into my own, got to know myself, and grew in a lot of confidence. It was a great teaching college, too. They had a great education department. It was a tri-college experience at that time, so I took classes at Loras and UD as well. Got to know really good lifelong friends. And that's also where I met the BVM sisters, and so that part changed my life.
Obviously,
because I'm here. But it just really kind of built on what I had, you know, learned in my family and in my education, that, you know, a life of service is what we're all called to do in a lot of different ways. And it was the sisters there really that just showed me that lifestyle, the lifestyle that I've ultimately decided to be a part of, and just how much freedom was involved in living in community and being able to go where you're needed and to, you know, share the gifts that you have. So
that was, you went immediately from college into the...
No, I didn't. Really at the encouragement of the community too, I had shown interest not until my senior year. In fact, I really didn't think about it a whole lot until my senior year of college that I felt this call to religious life. And so then it was about the second semester of my senior year that I finally contacted somebody in the community, though I knew a lot of sisters.
Okay.
And they had been encouraging me to think about it too. Nothing intense pressure-wise, but just, you know, consider it. And so I decided that I needed a little time to grow in my independence a little bit, because I'd, you know, gone from living at home with mom and dad to living in the dorms at Clark, and still kind of sheltered. And so I decided to get a job, teaching job in New Hampton, Iowa.
Okay.
And so I lived on my own in New Hampton for 2 years.
See, that's my home is Sumner.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to play the Chickasaws.
Chickasaws, yeah. Yeah. So I ended up teaching middle school.
Okay.
For a couple of years in New Hampton. And after that, I joined the congregation.
Okay. So at that point, that was, what, mid-80s? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, 85, I think, is when I left New Hampton.
Okay. Maybe you could give us a little description of what things you have concentrated on since you joined the community.
Let's see. I went to my first year after entrance. It was they call it a resident year, and so you're not under any vows or anything, but you go and you live in community and you work full time just to get an idea of what kind of lifestyle that is. And so I was given like 5 options all over the country. And I chose Holy Trinity, Alabama, mostly because it was so different. You know, I knew I wanted to experience something more, and well, something different. And so Holy Trinity, Alabama was in the middle of the cotton fields of Alabama. It was a mission school that was run by the Trinitarian Fathers out of Washington, D.C. And there were sharecroppers and plantation owners in my class. And they came from those different distinct families. It was just all kinds of socioeconomic backgrounds. And
that's quite a transition.
Yeah, it was great. It was really stretching. It was far from home. My mom and dad, when they dropped me off, thought I was nuts, I think. But it ended up being a really good year. It was a good year.
Okay.
And so I taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in the same class. It was a good year. And then I came back to Dubuque for a year of novitiate here. And then, I wanted to experience something new. And so I ended up moving to St. Louis and lived in community in St. Louis after my novitiate year. So that would have been about 1986 or 87. And I taught on the north side of St. Louis, which is a predominantly African-American community. And it was a rough neighborhood, rough neighborhood. Great experience, though. Great kids. Really opened my eyes to a lot. And then after a couple of years teaching middle school there, they were closing some of those inner city schools. And so I left that neighborhood mostly because I would have been taking a really African-American woman's teaching position had I stayed. Because I would have been hired because we were still being paid a stipend.
Okay.
So it would have been more economical for a principal to hire me, and I just didn't think that was right. So anyway, I then went out and I taught a middle school in a northern suburb of St. Louis, then in another couple of suburbs of St. Louis. So I ended up teaching middle school totally in total for 10 years. And then I finished up my master's. I had been working during the summer on a master's in pastoral studies from Loyola in Chicago. So I finished that up, made final vows, and then got a position in an all-girls high school in St. Louis that was run by the Sisters of Loretto. Never in my imaginings did I ever think I would end up in an all-girls, teaching in an all-girls high school, because it was not my experience. I didn't know anything about them. Except for all my years in St. Louis, I was really drawn to this high school because it was really social justice oriented and it was very diverse, and I just liked the kind of kid that graduated from Nerix was the name of it. And so I ended up getting a position there as a history teacher, religion teacher, freshman basketball coach, and campus minister. And I dropped some of those positions along the way. I was freshman basketball coach for 3 years, and after that it just got to be too much time. I enjoyed it, had a good time, but it was a lot of work. And so I ended up teaching there for 11 years, mostly as campus minister and religion teacher.
Okay.
But
so that was, you were in the St. Louis community area for all this time?
Yeah, for about 19 years. Okay. I was in St. Louis. And then it became clear that, you know, when I'd come back like once a month, you know, to visit mom and dad and was there on holidays and stuff, and it became clear that they needed somebody in town, you know, a little closer. And so I decided to move back to Dubuque, and the community needed a vocation director. And so I started working in vocations and formation as novice director. And I did that for about 9 years.
Okay.
And then I was elected into leadership, and so I've been doing that for 3.
Okay.
So here I am.
That's quite a career. Yeah. Do you have some things still on your bucket list that you want to do, or?
Oh, you know, I'm glad to be in Dubuque. I'm glad my mom and dad are still doing well, and so I'm glad to be here and be able to spend time with them. Yeah, I don't have much of a bucket list. I'm more of a, you know, see what opportunities, see what God has in store for me next kind of thing.
Okay.
So I just try to keep an open mind, an open heart, and see where I can serve best next.
What about the project that's going on here now? How did that come about?
Well, Bob's referring to a building project we're doing here at Mount Carmel. It became clear. We have about 155 sisters that live here now, and this is about capacity. We're not going to need any more room than this, and there aren't new members in the congregation, and so our time here is going to be limited, and we're not going to need it very much longer into the future anyway. And so we decided we needed to share it, primarily because it's a beautiful spot. And there is a need for senior living in Dubuque area, and there's nothing on this end of town. And so we looked for a partner, and Presbyterian Homes and Services seemed to be the right fit for us. We wanted to, you know, make it welcoming and open to all kinds of people, and so it'll be, it means tearing down some of our buildings, but they're just buildings.
Okay.
And we get to keep our oldest one, which is good, and then we'll have continuing care here, so it'll be independent living through skilled care. And we'll be opening it up to the public. So the first, the skilled care and assisted living should be finished in a year, and we'll fill it up for the first couple of years, I would think, because we'll just move our sisters from the buildings that will eventually be torn down into the new build, and we'll build independently and welcome all kinds of people, we hope.
What will be how many units do you think there will be?
There's 60 skilled, 60 skilled, 60 assisted living, and then I think 120 units of independent living.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we hope to have a lot of outreach that goes from here, like Meals on Wheels and different programs that will help the greater community too.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a lot of work. A lot of dirt to be dug.
What's your role in all of this?
Well, I'm on the leadership team, so it's, you know, we all kind of have oversight of the whole project, along with our other daily tasks. So you know, it goes from, you know, what color the tile should be to, you know, making the decision to begin with about, you know, opening it up. So.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your time, Lou.
Thank you.
A chance to get together and visit a little bit, and glad the interview will be shared on the district website along with the others. And thanks for the opportunity to visit.
Thank you.